right, good afternoon. I hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. And if you were splashing in the Gulf Coast waters, I hope you took a little time to remember why you have the holiday. Hey, how was traffic coming back from the Gulf Coast beaches yesterday? I bet there was quite a buildup. You know, you look, in my opinion, you know, you have to leave really early Sunday, or you have to leave really, really late to avoid that the traffic jam of everybody, you know, leaving in the middle of the day to early afternoon to head home, because, during the summertime, it can be really, really backed up. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Feels like a Monday, but that means a short week. So truly, a Friday's going to be here before you know it. Hey, if you haven't seen it yet, take a look at it. French President Emmanuel Macron was kind of slapped and shoved in the face by his wife, who was just right beyond the doors. He was in the doorway of the jet getting off in Vietnam, and she like just shoved his face like, "Get out there, you so and so." That was not a good moment. Macron said, "My wife and I were squabbling. We were rather joking, and I was taken by surprise." But it became a kind of planetary catastrophe. They were kind of, look, that does not look like a joke slap. I mean, take a look at that. All right, coming up in a few minutes, we'll start talking about the American Music Awards, which were on last night. I didn't see the whole thing. I can't sit through a whole award show. But I'll flip back and forth and check it out. And I saw a lot of good stuff last night. A few surprises, but a lot of good stuff, and we'll get to that. We've been talking about a number of things. The president also taking time during the solemn address in front of all of those graves in the backdrop, and the president of the United States is taking time out of the speech on Memorial Day at the Arlington National Cemetery to bash Biden. And that was just very, very self-serving and very juvenile. But that's what he does. And if it was wrong for Hillary to call Trump supporters deplorables, and that was wrong, she got a lot of flack for that. And I was among those who criticized. Was it also wrong for Donald Trump over the weekend to call Democrats scum? Damn right it was wrong. But a lot of people can't bring themselves to criticize Trump for doing the same thing that they criticized Hillary for doing. And that's the country in which we live. We also were talking about the problem that Trump has now, having bragged about his friendly relationship with Vladimir Putin. I mean, nobody knows him better than I do. You know, we're gonna get along. We're gonna end this war. Day one, we're gonna end this war. Well, that didn't happen. And Trump is being just slapped in the face by Vladimir Putin because Vladimir Putin is continuing to attack Ukraine. And Trump's not happy with it. He goes, "I think the guy's crazy," and he doesn't like it at all. What does Trump do now? I mean, he's been bragging about how friendly he is with this guy and how nobody gets along with him better than he does. And everything's going to be, copacetic once he's president and work things out with Vladimir Putin. And during ceasefire talks, Vladimir Putin is, you know, firing stuff into Ukraine. In fact, we just had a report that the drone attack into Ukraine was the biggest of the three-year war so far. So we're talking about all of this, and then somebody sends a text, "Why are we even involved in that war?" And there are Americans who are against that war because scum like Tucker Carlson, may not be a Democrat, but he's scum. People like Tucker Carlson who lie, and that's why he's scum. Not because of his political beliefs, but because he's a liar. And he lies to you. And he tries to gaslight your ass. And so many people just fall victim to this, you know, intent to brainwash people about misinformation. So Tucker Carlson was among those who sided with Russia in the whole war with Ukraine. And a lot of MAGA people just sucked along. They just followed along. Like they're following the Pied Piper. They just followed right along with Tucker Carlson and others who were siding with Russia. Yeah, well, that's right, man. I mean, why wouldn't we care about Ukraine? So, you know, Ian read a text about somebody who just wondered, well, why we're even there? Well, I just said we're there because democracy was being threatened and Vladimir Putin was not going to stop with Ukraine. So it's in our best interest to protect democracy.
There's a text that came in just a few minutes later. And let me preface this by saying, you know, we're always at risk of forgetting our own history. And it's we do that at our own peril. I think it's okay, or maybe not okay, but understandable if we forget history from like 100 or 200 or 500 years ago. If we are forgetting history from 20 years ago, we're in bad shape, folks.
Amen.
So here's a text that says, after 9/11, who helped us? And I had to kind of read that twice and think, my God, do you not know? Do you not remember? After 9/11, we had to go get Al-Qaeda. We had to go get Osama bin Laden. We had to take out the Taliban in Afghanistan in Operation Enduring Freedom. You know who helped us in Operation Enduring Freedom? I'll help you out.
A lot of people.
Albania, Australia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Bangladesh, Bulgaria, Belgium, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Canada, China, Cyprus, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Egypt, Estonia, France, Georgia, Germany, Greece, Hungary, India, Iran, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Kuwait, Kyrgyzstan, Latvia, Lithuania, North Macedonia, Malaysia, Montenegro, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Oman, Pakistan, Poland, Portugal, Qatar, Romania, Russia, Slovakia, Slovenia, South Korea, Spain, Sudan, Sweden, Switzerland, Tajikistan, Thailand, Turkey, Turkmenistan, the United Arab Emirates, the Ukraine, the United Kingdom, and even Uzbekistan, last but not least. That's who helped us in Operation Enduring Freedom after we got hit with the worst terrorist attack in our history. That's who showed up to help us.
You know,
why? Because we spent the last 75 years showing up to help them and bringing them food and bringing them medicine and giving them guns and bombs and stuff like that when they needed it. And they showed up for us after 9/11. So the texter either maybe is being disingenuous, but clearly has forgotten where we came from just, you know, 20 years ago.
You know, Ian, answering of our texts, answering some of the people who called this show, I want to use a phrase that is very common to Cajuns and people in this part of the country. Responding to these texts with the truth, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. It's so simple to counter some of these nonsensical comments that this is the show that continues to stand for truth and integrity. And remember, if you didn't hear it in the conservative media echo chamber, and you hear it here, we're the ones who aren't lying. They're lying. We're not. And we prove it all the time.
Just one more thing to say about this. I'll say sometimes, I don't know if this is a stupid person, but this is a stupid text. And I bet if I sat down at a coffee shop with the person who wrote that text and we had a conversation about what happened after 9/11 and who was there with us side by side when we fought in Afghanistan, they probably would have an answer that would include, you know, the UK and France, some of those other countries.
No, they wouldn't.
But people don't think before they text. They just reply to whatever they hear without thinking about what they're asking and what the answer might be. It's this sort of just reactionary, thoughtless dialogue.
It's the instinct to, no matter what the criticism is, even if the criticism is based on truth and facts, no matter what the criticism is, we are ready on our keyboards to criticize and attack anybody who says anything negative about the president or even implies anything negative about the president. I've never told a lie on this show. We don't lie. Nobody has ever come up with a lie that I've told. So stop it. On Facebook, stop it. Stop saying I'm a liar. I mean, because you're the one who looks dumb because you can't come up with a lie that I've told. And some of the things that people come up with are not lies. They're the truth. All right, we got to get to a break. We got a lot of people to get to. So if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with your calls. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And even with a lot of calls, we are going to talk about the American Music Awards last night. As we continue to remember those who died for our country over the weekend, here's Bruce Springsteen on WWL. All right, here's some quick thoughts on the American Music Awards last night. I saw much of it, but not all of it. J-Lo was the host. She looks awesome. And did you see her kiss that female dancer? I mean, right on the lips. I don't think there was any tongue action, but she kissed her right on the lips. Kissed a male dancer, then kissed a female dancer. Got a lot of attention. She's 55 years old, and man, she looks awesome. I discovered a new artist, Benson Boone. I thought that guy was really, really cool. And what about that flip off the stage, off the stairs, from the stage, off all those stairs? He flipped off of that and landed on the ground, on his feet. It was amazing. Lainey Wilson looked really good. SZA won Best R&B Female Artist. She wore an outfit that she couldn't even walk in. I mean, what's the point? You know, you wear a dress, you can't even walk in the dress. Two men had to help her up the stairs of the stage. Gwen Stefani just looked phenomenal. Janet Jackson performed on television for the first time in 7 years. She's 59 years old. I think she lip-synced. Again, I didn't see the whole thing. I don't know if others did, but I think she was lip-syncing. I was really surprised that Eminem won Favorite Male Hip-Hop Artist. Now the American Music Awards, this is not determined by a committee in the business. This is from fans. So Eminem was the winner. Artist of the Year, Billie Eilish. And coming up, I'll talk about Sir Rod Stewart getting the AMA Lifetime Achievement Award. He looks great, and he performed as well. So let's get to some of your calls. Let's go to Ann in New Orleans. Ann, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. Look, first, I'd like to say that the Bible is true. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When Donald Trump won the presidency, he was to become the president of everyone, Democrats, independents, Republicans, and whoever else. But he clearly shows, and it's we know that he's showing it, but it finally came out of his mouth. All right, comment number two. The reason why all of his speeches, it sounds like he's always reading a speech, is because the man does not have a broad vocabulary. Have you ever heard Donald Trump speak in a sentence using words other than, larger than this or that? You know, that's all he could do. Number three, the reason, another piece of evidence is that he's very infantile. He has this imaginary friend, Vladimir Putin. That man is no more friends with Putin than I am. And last comment, Scoot, that Oh Girl is Michael Jordan's favorite song. My sister's a big Michael Jordan fan, and that's his favorite song, Oh Girl.
Wow, that's cool. And listen, I really enjoyed the call, so thanks for calling, and I'm glad you were listening. You know, Ann said a lot of things that make sense. Now, here's the problem, though. The president of the United States is playing to a specific group of MAGAites. That's not a large group. That group is not big enough to elect a president. So the danger is, if you continue to pander to that one group, and now you're seeing a lot of Republicans standing up criticizing the president of the United States. They're not part of that MAGA group. All Republicans and all conservatives are not part of the MAGA group. The MAGA group, that's who he's playing to. But they're not big enough to elect him to the presidency. So again, I guess he can't run again. So, well, allegedly he can't run again. So I guess, you know, what does he care? Well, he's milking these people for money. I mean, some of these people don't have a lot of money. There are a lot of people who are MAGA supporters who are kind of poor, and they're supporting him financially. So if they're willing to do it, that's on them. I mean, who's more foolish, the guy who tries to con people or the people who pay the con artist? I mean, I don't know. And I mean, what Donald Trump is doing is legitimate. So he's not really a con artist. He's very upfront. Hey, buy my caps, buy my stuff. So those people are supporting him to the tune of millions and millions of dollars. And then, You know, he gets a lot of stuff on his own. So, look, you're supposed to be president to everybody, but clearly that's not the case. Let's go to Mitch in Metairie. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going?
Good.
Hey. You know, just based on the conversation that y'all were having earlier about, you know, why we would help our allies and when they aren't helping us, quote unquote, you know, I just want to kind of bring up, I went to the World War II Museum this past weekend for Memorial Day, and it, just putting it out there, if you haven't been in more than 5 years, I definitely think it is showing why it's a world-class museum. I mean, it is phenomenal. The amount of new things they have there is
breathtaking. Yeah, you're right. I've been there recently, and you're right.
There was one new part that kind of caught my attention, which was the Freedom Theater, which is sort of the rotating carousel theater that has a bunch of these projections and screens and things of that nature. And it's sort of the whole theme of it is what the United States did to help rebuild the world after World War II. And they talked about the implementation of the United Nations and different humanitarian programs and the things of that nature that allowed the world to become, you know, more of what it is today. And all I could think about is like, man, I don't think that this current administration wants to keep us in any of these programs, talking about backing out of certain UN initiatives and, you know, things like that. And it's just sort of, people say, well, America's not the world's police. I mean, yeah, it's not supposed to be, but we are the main superpower for a reason. Yeah. People rely on us. It's not that, I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there. I really put a lot of things into perspective going to the museum. So
I think it had to be really cool to go there during Memorial Day weekend because that had to add emotion to your visit to the World War II Museum.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Mitch, I really appreciate the call, man. I'm glad you're listening to our show. Johnny, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
I'd like to tell you that I was very lucky to be able to have all my revenues, monies coming in the same week every month. That it took me a while to arrange that. And prior to and when Trump was in the office, I was able to put, say, 25%, maybe a little bit more, away in savings. And put 75% in my pocket and pay my bills. Now, a lot of times, almost regularly, of that 75%, I even had money left over. So I had money left over, plus I didn't have to touch my savings. But what Biden did for me was take away that 75%. And I had to dip into my savings regularly. And well, take
what,
almost
tell
all
me
of
specifically,
that
Johnny.
Hold
what,
on, hold on, hold on, well, hold on, hold on.
Hey,
hold
hey
on.
Wait a minute, Johnny. If you don't want to have a conversation with me, then don't call this show. I can just hang up on you very quickly. But I'm being patient with you. But you're not going to yell at me. If you yell at me, you're gone. You don't have a right to be on this show. It's a privilege. Okay, you understand that deal? Do you understand that? Do you understand that deal, Johnny? Do
you
understand the deal?
Do
you understand the deal, Johnny? You're done. Hang up on the guy. I'm not gonna have anybody yell at me. And you know what I wanted to ask Johnny? I was gonna let him continue, but he's a hothead. What I wanted to ask him is, what was different under Biden to where Biden took all your money? Basically, he was saying that he had 75% of his money and it was gone under Biden. It's back under Trump. I wanted to know what changed. And I was going to let him continue after that. But we have conversations on this show. You're not allowed to come on this show and do a soliloquy. And for those of you who don't know what that is, I'm not going to bother explaining it. But you don't have a right to come on this show and just, you know, just go on forever. We have conversations, and sometimes I'm going to stop you in the conversation in what you're saying, and I want you to respond to what you're saying. I'll let you continue, but I'm going to want you to respond. But nobody's going to come on this show and dictate how we run the show or start yelling at me. Now, Johnny, if you want to come back on this show another time and you want to show a little respect, I'll let you on, and I'll accept your opinion. but not if you're going to be aggressive. Let's go to Patrick in New Orleans. Patrick, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I think we're at that point. You know, Trump is president. That's done. But what the people in Louisiana really need to pay attention to is he's only as powerful as the power that we give him. The power that we give our representatives, Scalise, Kennedy, Cassidy, Johnson.
Good point.
You know, if hurricane season coming up, and they need to answer some questions as far as why is funding being cut?
Yeah.
In Missouri, funding's cut, North Carolina, those people aren't getting help. We're getting hurricanes every year. People are going to be in trouble. And there will be no funding, and that's because of the people that are looking out for us. Those are our votes. We need to hold them accountable.
Yeah, you're okay? Right. You're right.
I just have one other point, and what people don't understand. Okay, so there's a possibility that EBT is going to be cut, Medicaid. The real fraud in that comes from, you know, let's say Medicaid comes from hospitals, comes from doctors. It's not somebody sitting at home collecting it that they shouldn't get it. And as far as EBT, look, just look at Walmart. 25% of Walmart's revenue is EBT. If you cut out 25% of Walmart's revenue, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
They're going to have layoffs, and the prices are going to go up for all of us.
Yep.
We all benefit from these programs.
Yep.
And stop letting people plot us against each other. Some of us have, some of us don't. And, you know, if you're really an American, you step up and you pay a little more and you help your neighbor.
Yeah.
You don't let some con man turn us around. You know, my uncle fought at D-Day. I mean, Scoop, it's hard not getting upset at this.
Yeah, I understand.
My great uncle fought at D-Day, and he explained to me when I was 7 years old what it meant to be an American, what he fought for. And you're going to let somebody piss that away? People need to wake up. Thanks, Scoot.
Man, Patrick, you made some great points, and I appreciate you standing up and expressing that opinion. All right, Johnny has called back. Johnny, you want to be respectful?
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to be respectful?
You're going to let me make an announcement
The show. No, you call into the show. Do you want to be respectful? Do you want to have a conversation? This is not about you making announcements. It's about you calling into the show to have a conversation. No, you weren't. You started yelling and bitching at me, and I'm not going to tolerate that, Johnny. And I don't hang up on you because you have a different. I don't hang up on you because you have a different opinion. I hung up on you because you were aggressive and rude. Now look, why I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question. Why were things different? What changed under Trump that caused you to have less money under Biden? I'm asking you the question.
Well, if you hadn't figured it out by now, it's prices.
Okay. Well,
what I'm trying to get across to you is, I have no idea on the other side of a cell phone how loud or how low or how disturbing it is. I'm asking you to have consideration for people that's on the phone about interrupting them.
Johnny, don't listen. Listen, don't start.
Deal.
Don't,
it's
Johnny, don't call the show and tell me how to run the show. Okay, don't do that. If you want to call in and have a conversation with me, that's fine, but I don't want to waste the listener's time by you trying to tell me how to run the show. Now look, so prices went up. Inflation was high when Trump took over. So what went up, what went down in prices so much that you suddenly had more money under Trump? Be specific about the items.
Well, I'm talking about his first term. His very first term as compared to now.
We're not talking about Trump 2016. We're talking about, or 2017. We're talking about Trump right now. What is it that has caused you to have, I'm interested. Why do you have more money now?
No, I don't have more money now because things are costing more. But what I'm trying to say is, in Trump's first term is when I have more money than I can know what to do with. But I don't now. Yes, he did take over a high inflationary period. And it's almost anything. But the thing is that you're constantly asking people about how can the president control that? Him controlling the economy is one of the easiest things.
He doesn't control the economy.
But he can.
He cannot control the economy. If president could control the economy, then we wouldn't have a history of inflation during reelection years.
Well, I don't think that they tried to control it. I really don't.
Okay, no other president tried. Yeah, every president wanted inflation during a reelection year. Johnny, this is making a lot of sense.
Well, why haven't they given?
Let me tell you, what line of work are you in? I don't need to know where you work, but what do you do for a living? What line of work are you in?
Work in the trades. I'm outside working in trades.
Trades.
I go back and forth, depending upon who has work. Electrician and boilermaker.
Okay, so was the industry different during Trump's first term than it is now? You say you had more money than you knew what to do with.
Exactly, yeah. A little bit. A lot more work.
All right. Did any of that start when Obama was president? Did you have any money when Obama was president?
I would say in the tail end of it, yeah.
Okay. So the point is that presidents don't have control over the economy the way you think they do, and that sometimes you do well because your trade, because your business is doing well. Sometimes you have a downturn, not because of the president, because there are not as many jobs. And maybe there are not as many jobs because people are not hiring as many people. I hope things improve for you. I hope things improve for everybody. I have to get to a break. I'm glad you had a chance to call back, because I'm not going to hang up on anybody because of their opinion. But I wanted to ask you questions. And when people call this show, you're not here to make political grandstand statements. You're here to have a conversation with me. And if I want to stop you and ask you a question about what you're talking about, I'll do that. But I'm going to let you continue. So don't freak out over that. But I would suggest that in the case of somebody like Johnny, It has to do with the trade that he's in, that, you know, sometimes things go up. Things were going up at the end of Obama's administration, and they continued under Trump's first term. Okay, things were down, maybe because of inflation. Things were down in the Biden administration, and, you know, things are not going to turn around right away. If Trump could turn things around right away, he would have, but he doesn't have the power to do that. Presidents don't control the economy the way some people seem to think. But there are people like Johnny who want to blame everything on the Democrats, even though Johnny admitted that he was doing well under the last part of the Obama administration. Well, his business was doing well. All right. Sir Rod Stewart, almost 80 years old. He looked great. Got an AMA Lifetime Achievement Award last night. He looks great. His kids presented the award. I mean, his kids are like these, like, really beautiful grown-up adults. And he was just amazing. And this was the song that he sang. You know, his wife is taller than him. And I mean, Rod Stewart's a pretty tall guy. But, man, his kids are taller than him. His wife is taller than him. Anyway, he is just the epitome of a rocker. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. This is the day we lost Greg Allman, on this day in 2017 on the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar. Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers Band passed away at the age of 69. He was battling liver cancer and passed on this day in 2017. I mentioned earlier, one of the most interesting things in his life was that he was married to Cher. The marriage lasted 7 days, and they have a son together. But, man, I don't put Elizabeth Hurley, the girl from Austin Powers movies, I don't put her with Billy Ray Cyrus, and I didn't put Greg Allman with Cher. So there's always interesting couples to talk about. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. Look, I want to say one more thing about Johnny, the caller we had a moment ago. Some people are angry, and you get angry when you're not making as much as you used to make. I understand that. And guys like Johnny, man, they work hard. I see people like every day of my life who physically work harder than I do. I mean, my work is mental. I mean, I spend a lot of time working. And you know, when my job is, when I'm finished at 4 o'clock, my job's not over. My job goes over. Sometimes I'm working at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I take a break to eat and watch TV, but I'm back at my desk. I work very, very long hours, but it's not physical labor. And I see people in there. Their hands are chapped and crusty, and their faces show that they've been in the sun a long time. And I respect people. I see people like this every day. And I respect people who have this physical labor that they do. And I respect guys like Johnny, but sometimes people get mad at the wrong thing. And a lot of people get mad at me. They will not call out the Republicans that are standing up against Trump, but they'll call out me because I'm accessible. I'm the guy on the radio that they can call up and talk to. And they should be calling the Republicans that are standing up and sometimes criticizing Trump, but they won't call them. They you know, sometimes Fox News criticizes Trump. Sometimes Trump gets pissed at Fox News. They're not calling Fox News. They're calling me. And there are people on Fox News all the time who disagree with the president. They're not calling them. They're calling me. They're emailing me. They're going to my Facebook page to vent their anger. But it's not my fault. I'm just talking about the issues. I want to mention something that was on Substack yesterday. This is a social media platform that I've just started on. And for many of you, it's relatively new. I'm going to change a lot of the stuff that I'm doing on Facebook and Instagram and move it to Substack. So if you really want to get the essence of Scoot on the Air, join me on Scoot on the Air Substack. Just go to Substack.com. But they had a picture of a day at the beach. It was like your day at the beach. And it was people frolicking in, like, you know, the ocean waters. You know, just a typical day at the beach. And then it was their day at the beach. And it was a picture of D-Day. The landing at Normandy. Your day at the beach, their day at the beach. And Memorial Day weekend is the emotional beginning of summer. And this emotional attitude about summer is going to last until Labor Day. And then we kind of have the emotional beginning of fall. So there will be a different attitude. People, even adults, have a different attitude during the summer. And we'll see it on the show and all the things that we deal with. But, you know, I hope that people remembered their day at the beach and not just thought about their day at the beach. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 2006, after 22 years, the Red Hot Chili Peppers finally had a number one album. It was the double album set of Stadium Acadium. Long anticipated, it finally came out. One of the songs from Stadium Arcadium, and they were hot on this day in 2006. We'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Mike Dettillier and Steve Geller. Look, I'm looking forward to this game tonight. You know, I'm pulling for the Knicks, but they're down 2-1 at the Pacers. Another game is in Indiana. Mitchell Knight, pay attention to this. Mitchell Knight with the Knicks, he played at Chalmette High. Another reason to pull for the Knicks, but they're down 2-1. And, man, the Pacers are killing it with those three-pointers, man. The Knicks are leaving them open. All right, we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow. I want to thank our program director, brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, and traffic with Courtney P. As always, I thank you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.